I was living on Maui. I was a surfer in Ho'okipa. I taught windsurfing. And I had an encounter with Jesus. And I started going to church. I started going to an all-local church, which meant they were mostly Hawaiians and Asians. And I'm long blonde-haired surfer boy. And I think God did it for multiple reasons. One was I couldn't get involved in with any of the girls because all the Howleys, the surfers that came over, they only came for a short period of time, and then they'd usually leave. So you didn't get a lot of interaction with other people. So I go to this church called the Door of Faith, and one time this man came. He was a huge Hawaiian guy. If you knew the cultures, he's actually Portuguese, but Hawaiian Portuguese, and then his wife was Japanese Hawaiian. She was like 6 foot. He was like 6'5". And I'd never seen a man be so bold at the pulpit. And I remember at the beginning, he said, if anybody needs healing in your body, I need you to come up. And I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean, healing in the body? So I didn't go up. But I had blown my back out as a lifeguard, a pool attendant at the Hyatt Regency in Lahaina, north of Lahaina. So I didn't come up. And then he prayed for people, and I'm like, oh, what's all this going on? Then at the end, he said, I remember he was just so bold. He lifted his hand, and he was like over, like he had to be 6'4". His wife was 6 foot. And he's like, at the end of it, he's praying, and he says, you know what? Some of you guys didn't come up for healing, but the Lord says if you'll stand up right in your place right now, God's going to touch your body. So I'm like, okay, whatever he's talking about, I don't have to go up. So I stood up, and when he prayed, I had blown my back out at the Hyatt, and my back went pop, 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 and totally was healed. And so I believe in the healing anointing. I'm not the healer. But while we were worshiping right here, the Lord showed me the power of God is here. Some different people were being touched. So we're going to do this really quickly just for everything that's going on. I don't know how you guys do it. If you need healing in your body, I just need you to come up quickly, okay? There we go. Here we go. See, you just need you to come up really quickly. We're going to do this fast. The healing power is here right now, okay? And some of you have no idea who we are. Isn't it awesome? And then we're going to pray for a couple other people, and then we're going to maybe get into our message. Do we have ushers? How do we do this? Okay, good. We're going to come ush. So I'm a little bit demonstrative. Yeah, everyone come just a little bit forward. I'm a little bit demonstrative, and I'm not your normal guy, so we're going to figure that one out. And usually I don't do it like in the line straight away, but we got ushers. We have ushers? Yes? Catchers, ushers, slashers, however we do this. So most likely I'm not going to ask you what I'm praying for, just the healing anointing's here. What do you do with that? I was raised in L.A., but we had horses, and we had chickens, and we had ducks, and we had show dogs. So every now and then, we had a hot wire, and I was a young man. And I don't know how many of you guys know about farms, but this is farm territory. So I would go out, and I would grab a hold of the hot wire on purpose. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, right? You know what I'm saying? And I would see if I could get, you know, and if you had rubber-soled shoes on, you'd be grounded, and nothing would happen. But anybody know what I'm talking about with a hot wire where the birds would land on it, and sometimes the birds would just fly away, there'd be no problem. Other times the birds would land on it, and they'd fry. Okay? So I would go out, my brother and I, we would just see, hey, come on, dude, we could do this, bro. If we would grab the hot wire, I'm not your normal L.A. kid. And sometimes it'd shock you. You know, some of you know
what I'm
talking about.
We're not promoting to grab hot wires.
What?
I said we're not promoting to grab hot wires.
No, I'm not saying do it. But other times you'd grab it and nothing would happen. So the power of God's very similar. Sometimes when I lay my hands on you, mm-hmm. when we lay our hands on you, mm-hmm. you'll sense something. Other times you might not. Doesn't mean the power's not on. All right? So your connection is you don't look to Cliff or Christy. Mm. You just keep your eyes on Jesus and let his power go into you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he heals immediately, and sometimes people are healed as they went. Mm-hmm. So I'm just giving you a quick little teaching. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to, are my ushers here? Because I'm not normal how I do this. pretty much not normal in almost anything I do. So I'm going to pray for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let your healing power, it's right there, it's right there. Let your healing power cause and effect to cure in Jesus' name. Here we go. Father, top of her head, soles of her feet. That's the power of God right there. That's the power of God right there. Never, never the same again, Lord. Never the same again. Never the same. Lift your hand. Just lift your hand. You're saying, I surrender. I surrender. Top of her head, soles of her feet. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power that causes and effects a cure. Come here, Chrissy. Just put your hand on her belly. Put your hand on her belly. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your healing power. Let's come on to the next person right here. Right here. We're coming up for healing. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Okay. While you're doing this, if you're in a dark alley in New York City, especially now, and somebody puts something in your back, you'd lift up your hands and say, oh, here, I don't got nothing. So you're surrendering. Father, top of her head, soles of her feet. Thank you. There's the power of God right there. There's the power of God right there. The healing power, top of her head to the soles of her feet. Come here, right here, right here. So I see this in your hands. If you will get bold, I see fire in your hands. To me, that's gift to heal and work in miracles. Sometimes you got to go, you got to get bold. And you're in the grocery store and all of a sudden the compassion of God wells up in you, like right now. And the Lord says, I want you to go pray for somebody. Don't be shy. Just go, can I just lay my hands on you? And what will happen is that healing power will go into him. Just lift your hands, close your eyes all the way. Never, never the same again, Lord. Let your healing power flow through her body, hallelujah, cause and effect a change.
Thank
in
you,
Jesus,
Lord. Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Glory
where did
God.
I leave off
Glory
here?
To God.
Right
Glory.
Here. Here we go.
Thank
okay.
you, Father.
Chrissy,
thank Jesus.
Can I have you back
thank
now?
Jesus. Thank
you, back.
Jesus.
Father, top of her head, soles, or feet. Never, never. There we go. This is the power of God. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God.
Thank you,
cause and effect and cure in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Did I miss anybody? Are we okay? We're coming here. Oh, you too? There we go. Oh, those two right here? I just don't want to forget anybody. Okay? Lift your hands. I'm just saying, you're just saying, I surrender. There's a power of God right there. There's a power of God right there. There's a power of God right there, right there, Father. Cause and effect a cure in Jesus' name. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to put my hand on your belly, okay? Top of his head, soles of his feet. Father, thank you for the healing power. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's the power of God right there. Never,
thank
never
you.
The same again. You, just command anything
thank
to go,
Jesus.
Any sickness, any infirmity, in Jesus' name to go, in Jesus' name. Father, top of his head, soles of his feet. Thank you, Lord. We know at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus just prayed, and the man got up and walked. Father, thank you for your power, cause, effects, a cure. Top of his head to soles of his feet in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
lift your hands up. Just you, lift your hand. There we go. Power of God's all over you right now. Never, never, never the same again. There we go, right there. It's just so gentle. Just so gentle, Father. The healing power of Jesus right now. Father, top of her head. So I see the same thing. Do you ever lay hands on the sick? Have you get bold? You sense him right now. You sense him right now. I've been in grocery store before, and somebody walks past, and the Holy Spirit says, pray for him. I'm like, I'm in the grocery store. I don't mind being an idiot, Lord, but I'm in the grocery store. And you know what I did? I got bold, and I've seen things happen. If you'll get bold, are you bold sometimes?
Yeah.
I mean, look at those glasses you're wearing, right? You know you love them, right?
Yeah.
So if you just get bold, when that compassion overwhelms you, just like we're up here,
yeah.
We get to practice here, but out there, we get to do it, right? You know what I'm talking about? So get bold. Lift up your hands, top her head, soles
thank
her feet.
Lord.
Let the healing power flow
thank
through her, Father. Never, never, never the same again in Jesus'
thank
name.
You, Lord,
everyone stay up here
power.
For 1 second, okay?
Healing power.
I'm praying for you. You sense
healing
the power of God,
power
don't you?
Infusing.
Yeah, you do,
every
huh?
Every space and place.
Okay, I'm
thank
like,
Lord.
You got to let go of his hand.
Power.
You got to lift up. Top
thank
her head,
Father.
Soles of her feet,
thank
Father.
You, Jesus.
That's the power of God. I'm not even touching you. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just the guy. Water's coming through. Amen. Never, never, never the same again, Lord. Let that healing power flow through her body, Lord. Flow through her body. Flow through her body in Jesus' name. Father, top of his head, soles his feet. Just lift up your hands. You're surrendering. There we go. There we go. You're surrendering right now in the name of Jesus. Never, never the same again. That's him right there. That's the Holy Ghost right there. Pouring out on you in Jesus' name. So quickly, I'm going to do this real quickly. If you sensed a change right now when we prayed, and you can do something you didn't, or you want to try to do something. Why did I say that? When that man prayed for my back, it went pop, 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 pop. He didn't call me up, but I'm like in the back, all local church. And I was like, I just got healed. And nobody said, tell people about it. Do you sense any difference? Anybody sense any difference? Go ahead. Your arm feels better. The reason why we'd say this is this, because when it hits one person, then all of a sudden other people go, wait a minute, I can do this. I couldn't do that. Doctor, I could only raise my arm this far before. How high could you raise it before? I could used to be able to raise it this high. So move your arm a little bit. Okay, there we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else that
you
sense
Lord.
A difference? Tell me.
Shut his hand.
Okay. It's gone. It's gone. The reason why I'm saying it, listen, I'm just the water bottle. When the water hits you, you get wet. And you go, did the water hit you? Yes, the water hit me. Anybody else, you sense a change right now. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you in 1 second. Anybody else? Anybody else? You sense a change immediately. Anybody? You want to try to do something you couldn't do before? Like maybe I couldn't do this yesterday. I could. You know what I'm saying? I'm just asking you. What happens sometimes, that faith is an act, and it activates what we did when we touched you. Anybody else? I'm okay either way. I'm just the water bottle. Okay? All right, so we're good. We're good. So I got two more things I'm going to do, and we're not going to lose our time here. Okay, you guys can all head back to your seats. There was a woman here I wanted to pray for real quickly. Where was the lady who was down here kneeling? Oh, man. Can we get her up here? Okay, good. Oh, cool. And then we're going to do this real quickly. All right? Should we show that video real fast before she gets up here? Can we show that video? Which one? The first one of our daughter. You'll see our daughter on it first.
I don't know what I labeled them.
So in the meantime, I was speaking at that same church 17 years later in Wailuku, Maui, Hawaii. And I got done speaking a non-healing service. I wasn't teaching healing. And as I got done, the Holy Spirit said, somebody's right knee has a problem. Nope, somebody's left knee has a problem. And it looked like the evangelist was confused. And this lady jumps up and said, I'm the right knee. So I pray for her. I sense the power of God go into her body. And I said, can you do something? She goes, yeah. She goes, oh my gosh, I'm healed. As soon as she said that, this man jumps up and he goes, I'm the left knee. So then it made the evangelist guy look really good. And he comes up and I said, I sense the power of God go into your leg. Did you sense anything different? He goes, no, I didn't. Okay, she's coming. So as I said to him, listen, Dr. Jesus just touched your body. If you came out of the doctor's office and he put some kind of serum, you know what I'm saying, in a syringe that you have no idea what it is, you would say, hey, as I'm walking out, you're thinking, well, I guess my healing has begun. So I said 12:20 on that day, it was a Sunday, in Papukalo, Wailuku, Maui, Hawaii, Dr. Jesus touched my body. And so if I said to him, what you want to say is, thank you, Jesus, that you touched my body and the healing has begun. Two nights later, I'm in Makawao, upcountry Maui, and while I'm up there, I have a dream. And I have a dream that I'm in Kahumanu Shopping Center. I'm taking the escalator. We'll be get to you in just 1 second. We're going to take the escalator up in this dream, and I got a friend of mine and his father on each side of us. And who knows? It could have been the pizza from the night before. But the next day, on Hana Highway, we're at Kahumanu Shopping Center, literally going through what I saw in my dream. And I look over, and in the dream, I saw the Lakers playing. And I'm from California, so it's okay if I like the Lakers. And at that time, Kobe was playing. And so they're getting ready to do this. And the next day, I'm actually walking through here, going up the escalator, and I look over at the Sushi Go. Sushi Go isn't there anymore, so if you go to Maui, don't look for it. And I look over, and the Lakers are playing, and Kobe Bryant's playing. So we walk in, and my friends go, what are you doing? I go, come on, we have to do this. I get a Coke because I don't drink at all. One of the things the Lord told me, you never drink again. And so I'm drinking a Coke, and all of a sudden Kobe shoots the legend. Everyone's, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. And so this guy walks out of the sushi restaurant. He says, Cliff, do you remember me? And I said, no, I don't. He said, I was the left knee. And I said, okay. And he said, I'm a postman. He said, the next day, I just kept thanking God that my healing had begun. the next day, I stepped out of my postal truck, and he goes, I realized my knee was healed. I only think the Lord did that to me, gave me that example, so that I could tell you, listen, your healing has begun.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
You just keep thanking for it. Come here real quick. Come here. I don't know who you are. I just know the power of God was all over you. He's still all over you. Okay? There's no music. There's not anything. Just close your eyes, okay?
Thank you, Jesus.
Listen, I don't know what God's doing. I mean, right now, he's just rocking your world. Glory to God. He's rocking your world.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I just thank you for the next step in her life, the next situation in her life. I thank you that your glory will cover this woman and people will come see her burn for you, Jesus. Just put your hands on top
thank
of her
God.
Head, soles of her feet, Father. Change her, make her, mold her for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. I just saw myself praying in the beginning, so okay, we're good. All right. We're good. Hallelujah. I can be a wee bit demonstrative. So now we're going to play our little video.
Thank you, Lord.
And I know she has to get back to work, so. Come on,
thank
get back
you,
to work,
Lord.
Please.
Hallelujah.
You're going to show our little video?
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Maybe. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, people are watching us, aren't they? Online. Hi to all the online people.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, keep on talking? I don't have a problem with that.
No.
You know, it's really been a pleasure to know the Cashmans for 25 years.
Maybe
right?
more, yeah.
Maybe
close,
more.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah, we've done a lot of things together. We've come together in a lot
here
of ways, done a
right.
lot of.
Do you have sound?
Go ahead. Yeah?
Play. Sound.
It's okay. It's music. So
it's
you
only
can just
music,
see.
So it's okay.
So these are examples of all the different things that we do. So over the years, we have gone to 55 nations. We have a goal to get into the top 10 most persecuted nations of the world. We've been into about 6. Sometimes that changes and you see a one lower to number 11 or 12 and you think, yay, God, you called us there and we planted a seed and now it's on a lower number. But we've gotten into 6 of the top 10 most persecuted nations. This is our daughter, Tori. We do children, youth, outreach, evangelism, persecuted nations, missions. You guys have partnered with us over the years in reaching people all over the world. We've based out of California at times, in Idaho at times. We've lived in Europe. We've spent extensive times in the Middle East. We endeavor to reach the world with the gospel, and that's whether it's 1 or 1,000, and we actually have goals of 1,000,000. So what you're doing today when you get involved with us is you are helping reach the world. Amen?
Amen.
So thank you for doing that. And we have partner envelopes because we can't do it without partnership. If there's something in you that says, you know, I'd just like to have that envelope. I'd like to pray for them. I'd like to partner with them. We had a partner that started when she was 13 years old with $5. She now supports us monthly. She has been for 25 years. Listen, everybody doing something makes a difference. So if that interests you, I'd love to have my daughter give you an envelope. You could raise your hand. And we also have a book table on the back. This has 4 of our books. No, 5 of our books. There is a book that Cliff wrote. It's called Blueprint for a Dreamer. This is all about a guy who gives his all and helps gives you a plan for continuing to pursue what God's called you to do. Whether you are 14 or you are 40 or you are 94. It also has a study guide that was written by a very linear person. My husband is not as linear as the person who wrote the study guide, so it really helps you walk through how to actually achieve the dream that God's put in your heart. It's very motivational. The other book is I'm Already Famous, He Knows My Name. That book came from a place where we moved to California. I'm a West Virginia girl, married a California guy, met in Oklahoma. We say we met in the middle. And so my daughter, we moved to California. I said, Lord, how do I raise children in this culture? How do I do that? Everybody thinks that it's because who they are, what they have, what they can do. And he said, teach them that they're already famous because I know their name. So teach them that they're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we have a book back there. It's a 30-day devotional that my now 19-year-old wrote when she was 14. And she said, this is what I was looking for when I was a teen. So this is a devotional from a teen to a teen. If you're a girl, you'll enjoy that. We're actually going to be developing one for a boy too, because we've had so many young guys come up to us and say, this isn't fair. You don't have one for us. So we're working on that. We have two more books. There's Tori's Terrific Tours. This is a book that's an educational book. Your grandkids will love it. Your neighbor, whomever you know in the area. It's all about Hawaii culture and losing your first tooth. This is a book that doesn't have anything Christian in it. This is a book so that we can get into, who would have known, libraries and schools, places that they wouldn't otherwise allow Christians to come into. So it does help us to get in and do outreach amongst communities that otherwise may never listen. That book helps us to go in and rescue children in disasters, wars, and trafficking. So we have helped numerous places. In fact, I'm going to be going to Thailand the end of this month, and I'll be joining my daughter, who's going to be there for 4 weeks, and we'll be working with children who've been rescued out of trafficking. That book helps support that. Last book is The Littlest Pebble. That is illustrated and authored by Cliff. It's all about a little pebble who's looking for a special place in the world. Make sure we get you one of those for Zeke. And it's even two-year-olds look at this little pebble and see the smile on his face and follow him all throughout the book. But the book really isn't for just two-year-olds or 12-year-olds or whatever. It really, somebody said that's a great college coffee book, you know, buying for their college gift, because it's just saying you're somebody special, you have a special place to fulfill. It doesn't matter how small you think you are, you can do a big thing. And so this, it's so inspirational. They're on the back table. My daughter will be back there afterwards. You can support us in that way also. So
I'm going to tell you about Cassie. Cassie, we met it, Christy and I met her in a missions class. She was 12, I think. Mm-hmm. She started partnering with us $5 a month. And her life didn't go where she thought it was supposed to go. She was end up moved to Branson. She was managing a Western outfitter shop. And she said she got in a funk and she didn't have a car and she had to get dropped off an hour before work and then picked up an hour after work. And she's one day, she's just kind of like, man, this is not what I saw my life doing. And she was sitting there and all of a sudden she got our little email, MailChimp. And it talks about us going to Iraq and Afghanistan and Bhutan and India and Pakistan and all this. And she looks at it and she's like, you liar devil. I'm going with Cliff and Christy around the world. And she started crying. And she said she played it again. And she goes, you liar devil. My life has purpose. Maybe I'm not going, but I'm going with Cliff and Christy. And then she watched it 30 times. And she was bawling, and she was saying, you're a liar, Satan. I have a part in this, and maybe I'm not landing all those spots with my feet, but she goes, I'm going with a partner. And she called, I went to visit her in Branson accidentally, and she goes, I need to tell you this. She said, and now I don't, she gives,
doesn't matter, but she's
just
a partner.
Kept increasing, yeah. And the crazy part is she says, I think I just texted her the other day. I just said, I just want to let you know, we're grateful for you. We're lifting you up. Every bit helps.
Every drop matters. Every drop in the bucket. Amen. This morning, we are going to minister the word, and we're excited to do it together. So how many of you can say, are you excited? Do you have an expectation and anticipation? Because really, you're not expecting from us. You're expecting from the Lord. So what you can do is you can draw on the gift on the inside of us, what God has put on the inside of us. You can actually say, just to yourself right now, you can go, yeah, I want something that you're downloading in them, Lord. I want what they have because I want to leave here. Not just, you know, this isn't country club Christianity. Amen? Can anybody say amen? This isn't where we like go in, clock in, right? We don't like say, oh yeah, we hung out with our friends and we did this. No, this is a place where we come, we get filled up, we get encouraged, we get healed, we become whole, and then we leave with joy so that we can reach what? A world that needs answers that don't have them right now. I was one of those. And so this morning, we want to talk to you about being under construction. under construction, and I'm going to start off by letting you know about a story that I just experienced, and that was my birthday. I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma to visit my daughter at ORU, and she surprised me. How many moms, when you're surprised with something that you really enjoy, are just, you're deeply touched by the fact that your child thought about you, right? So I arrive there, and, you know, I'm taking her out to coffee. I'm buying the meals. I'm, you know, helping her get groceries, whatever she needs, because she's a college student. And she says, Mom, we're going to go off somewhere. We need to be ready at this time. And I, really, what? So we go off, and she takes me to something called the Van Gogh Experience. Has anybody ever heard of this? Nobody? So the Van Gogh Experience is where you walk in, and you sit in a room where they are digitally playing all of Van Gogh's works, all in the room. So you are immersed. You're sitting, like they have these little slingback chairs that you sit down in, and they're playing. It'd be a room like this size. They're playing all over the room, and they're just these beautiful works of art. And I just didn't want to leave. But before we actually got into the room, which Tori was saying, hurry, Mom, let's get to the room. Let's get to the art. Let's, come on. Because I'm reading everything. I'm walking down the halls. How many of you are like the readers? You know, you're walking down the halls and people are like, all right, already, come on, let's go. I'm walking down the halls reading. And I read about how Van Gogh actually studied to be a minister. He had biblical studies. He studied to be a minister. Some of you may know his story. I'm not going to get into his story today, but his life was taken short. But yet, Van Gogh contributed some of the most beautiful pieces of art to the world. Would anybody agree?
Yeah.
And I left with this quote that meant so much to me, and it was, great things are done by a series of small things. And when I left with that quote, I thought of my daughter Tori, who was with me, who when she was 13 sat on a generational panel with me. In California, there was a generational panel women's conference. And the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, and we got to her, the teens, the 20s, the teens. And she said at the end of her 10-minute little talk, she said, I guess what I'm saying is, if you'll pour us a foundation, we'll build you a skyscraper. And so, you know, with that quote, great things are done by a series of small things by Van Gogh, who was cut short, but who I sat in a room immersed with beauty and thankfulness, and, you know, really, I was just so stimulated by what I was seeing. And then that statement from Tori, if you pour us a foundation, we'll build you a skyscraper. It was a reminder today, as we began to prepare and pray for this particular service, that we are building something great here. That we are building something great here, and we are building something great collectively here. And so building the church, building something great, building Van Gogh paintings, building a skyscraper, it all requires us to move forward. There's a brushstroke that's done, and each brushstroke matters. Each thing that we do matters. We were talking about the skyscrapers. The frame matters. It matters if it, we have to stay aware of how we're building under construction. And so we have 3 points this morning. If you take notes, does anybody take notes still in church? If you take notes, we have 3 points. First point is directions, second is corrections, and third is modifications. And so we're gonna get right into the word. Shall we pray before we start?
Yeah, you can pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your powerful presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it gets down into dividing the very soul and spirit. It helps us to see, to understand, and to walk out that which you have planned for us. Father, I thank you that this word falls on good ground and it produces a great harvest. And Father, it will help us to fulfill all that we're called to do. That, Lord, we live long and strong and we fulfill all that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So in Isaiah 28, Isaiah is actually prophesying some of people speaking in other tongues. And so he says, for precept, chapter 28, verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. He says it twice, line upon line, line upon line. It's like a building blocks, here a little and there a little. And then he ties it in. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. When you're under construction And how many of you have ever built a house or been involved in building a house? How many of you ever ripped apart a hot rod and rebuilt it? When I was a kid, my stepdad, was a construction worker, and he had an El Camino. And he and I tore it apart, and we rebuilt it. And then now, crazy enough, is I have a 71 Chevy that I've done a lot of little work on, C10. Really, it's a nice one. And so whenever you're building stuff, you got the overall picture of everything, but everything goes part by part. How many of you have been through some struggles going to churches? All right, someone asked this. This is more, I feel bad because I don't want to look at anybody. How many ever have problems at home? Don't look at me. How many ever problems with your brothers and sisters? How many ever problems with your family? How many ever problems with your pet? No. Which we all do. That's the crazy part about life. So he says, this is Isaiah saying that with precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest. We're talking about under construction.
Yeah, so Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And we always talk about, the problem with living sacrifices is that they can crawl off the altar. Maybe you've heard that before. You can move your body so that it has to go back on the sacrifice and say, I give myself back. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here I am. We were doing that this morning. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I like
one translation says, it's the least you can do because of all that Jesus went through for us. Mm. I actually have an entire physician's report on what Jesus' body went through on the cross and up to the cross. Mm. And when you read it, this physician's like, I never even knew what really happened to Jesus. So he started going through the forensic science of what happened to Jesus. You talk about the brutal things that happened to his body. Any super athlete couldn't maintain what Jesus went through because his spirit was so strong. I don't want to get into it because then I'm going to want to pray for people for healing again. But all the way down from his back being broken open to the sinew and the bone. Literally, he had bones and muscles laying out. I was with Jack and Marilyn Uris building a cross for them on their wall. And as we're moving this old Amish barn's cross beams, gently moving it, just like, hey. And I travel a lot, so I don't have like girly hands. Is that all right if I say that? And so I'm moving it and just gently moving this old Amish barn, whatever you call them, timbers. I'm getting splinters in my hand. And you think about Jesus' back ripped open all the way down to the sinew and the bone, coagulated blood, just this sebum or something like this. And then he puts this cross on his back, this cross beam, and he's dragging it against the flesh. And I'm like, this hurts just doing this. And Bob's over here helping me, one of their people from the church, and he's a contractor. And then here's Jesus dragging it, dehydrated, no Gatorade, that was a joke. And he's pulling it all around, and you think what he endured before he got to the cross. And then spikes being driven through the most crucial part of his wrists and his feet, one on top of the other. And you know what they tell women? They say the first thing you do if someone's trying to attack you, they tell them, turn around and stomp on the guy's heel, bridge right here on your foot, because it's so painful. They're driving spikes through both feet of this. So he says, do this because it's the least you can do. Is to climb up on the altar. Usually I would do, but this is black and I have a nice shirt. And then I climb up on the altar and say, okay, Lord, you go through the process. What you want to do for me, go ahead.
And if he's already beginning to do that right now in you, it's not because of us, it's because the Lord is doing that right now. Yeah. That's what he's drawing forth. And so it says that you would present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed, because man, there's a lot of conforming right now in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, right here, I want to tell you a story about when I was 18. I actually got born again when I was 3 years old at a little Baptist church because back then they had bus outreach ministries, and they would pick me up, and I would go to church. I knew nothing. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And so by the time that I was 13, long story short, I lived in 20 different homes before I was 18 in 8 different household units. And a lot of people, you know, have asked me questions about that, and you can afterwards. But that's I went to the church bus. My mom ended up at 13. She moved away when I was 5. She moved back when I was 11. She got born again when I was 13 in a charismatic church. She asked me to go with her. If I'm talking too fast, tell me. She asked me to come with her. I went with her one time. The pastor said, don't ask her, don't make her come. She hasn't been raised in this. Just let her have time. So at 18 years old, when I realized I was getting off track of just choosing to be a smart girl and not get engaged with what I'd seen family members get engaged with and die young and go through pain, when I started making the same stupid decisions, I realized I'm going to go to that church because I remember, as crazy as I thought they actually were happy. And I like it that they were happy. I'm not saying like I saw everybody happy like all the time. I'm saying like when they came together in fellowship, they were happy to be there. And it made an impact on me at 13. So 18, I went back there. And I went up for the altar call where the pastor said, hey, if you don't know how Jesus sees you, please come up here. I had no idea what he meant. But when I went up there that day, I gave my heart to Jesus. I mean, I wept. I said, I'm sorry. I did all of the things that were repentance. I receive you. I didn't know exactly how to do it in Christian language, but that's what I did that day. I got born again. And I went back to my seat, and one of the ladies said, honey, did you give your heart to Jesus? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't know the language. I didn't understand. I wasn't from that culture. And so I had to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And it does not happen in a flash. We're under construction. Yeah. It takes time. And so you ever see those old weight scales? It's not like the ones you have now. They're old ones and they're balanced, you know, and they go like this. Well, you know, if you're talking about understanding the world, I understood the world. Like, I understood what was going on in the world. I could speak every world language that you could think of. And whenever the girl said to me, well, do you know this Christian song? I was like, no. And do you know this? No. And I don't know what's wrong with you. You know, I thought something was weird about her, but she was trying to introduce me to the things of the church, to the things of Christ, to the Word. And so it became where I went to the marriage, divorce, and remarriage seminar because my mom had been married 7 times. I went to the missions conference because they were talking about travel, going around the world and reaching people for Jesus. I went to the Bible study. I went to Sunday school. I went to, and you know what happened? The scales started to change, right? And there became this desire for something different. I wanted to be transformed. I said, how quickly can this happen? And they said, it takes time, but you just keep pursuing what is right.
So we're 3-part beings. We're created in God's image. So who does he look like? Does he look like Brad, Pastor Sherry, Lexi, Teresa, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing. So no, we're 3-part beings. And I like to tie it like this. We're encapsulated in an earth suit. If you're going to go to the moon, they'd give you a space suit. And you know what they found out is when you go to space, you have to increase your physical. Those men are athletes, because when you go out there, the momentum of zero gravity. If you throw your space suit, which is pretty heavy, like this, you're going, whoa! What happened to my arm? Takes me away. So you're a 3-part being. If you don't strengthen that inner man, the real part of you, the spirit being, then when your flesh wants to get control, it's like that space suit. And you'll just follow along. I want to do this. I want to, and the inside's going, no, no, leave us alone. That's bad for you. And so he pulls over here. One of the ways that really helped define it, I moved to the south of France after Bible college. And I'm in a Bible study at Sue and Patty Howard Smith's house. And this lady comes in French. At that time, my French was like non-existent. if there was anything. And she's ripping in French. Qu'est-ce qui se passe avec les choses comme ça? Moi, j'ai prié pour les choses. And she says this, and I said to her, I said to the lady, stop, stop, tell me what her question is. And they're all looking at me going, why? Because on the inside of me, in my spirit, I started seeing an elephant rise up. And so she says, she's asking, how long does it take, we're talking about under construction, for a prayer to get answered? And I said, I already know the answer. And she's like, what? I didn't speak the language, but my spirit was picking up what's going on. And I said, is she believing for a mouse? Because it takes 2 weeks from inception, gestation, to birth to have a little mice. I said, or is she believing for something that's huge? Because from inception, conception, inception, to gestation, to birth, it takes 2 years. And God was already answering her prayer through my spirit. Do you get this? She's talking about when the world is going, ah, and then you start going, ah, why do we go to church more? Because you get full. Mm-hmm. You get full.
Get directions.
I get my directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Is that good? Wait, hold on. You're playing football. The coach, you know why has you do two-a-days? Because he knows the more you're doing two-a-days, the more you're going to go, set your hips, run this way, run that. You know, who's the fastest? Who's the biggest? Who can block? Who can do this? And he's trying to locate where you are. The more you're in here with, you know, in concerns to life, I got it. The more your inside is getting stronger and you'll know what to do. Directions.
Whatever you practice, you get better at. I've told my children all these years. You remember they used to say, whatever you practice, practice is perfect or something? Then they used to say, and then you saw the switch. And it was no. I said to my kids all the time, whatever you practice, you're going to get better at. So when we're in this space and in this place, we're practicing the presence of God, right? We're practicing that time with Him. We're getting better with cooperating with Him, both corporately and individually. So this is our directions, right? For under construction, we're under construction, we have to have directions. The next thing we have to have is corrections. And so Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily, can you believe that the Bible would say easily? Like, really? It can easily ensnare us. If we know it can easily ensnare us, it doesn't really matter. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, that's gross sin. Oh, look what they're involved in. It's so obvious. No. But as we get to be older believers, we have to think about what's going on that nobody can see. What's going on that maybe other people aren't hearing? Maybe you think you're getting by with, right? Easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance, with patience, the race that is set before us. Looking into Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy, the Christians should see the joy in us. That doesn't mean that we always have joy, but there should be a part where they see, even if we have hardship, that it comes back to joy. What attracted me whenever I was 18 years old and doing the wrong things to come to that church that I visited when I was 13? I remember the joy. So for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He had something hard up ahead. It wasn't going to be easy. I like the way my husband describes it in his Blueprint for a Dreamer. He said it's like an X, or that you get up here, you're down here, everything's wide open, but the Lord starts saying, no, and it feels like it's no, but it's not. It's actually getting you tied up here to cooperate so that then the other part of the X is it goes wide open this way. So then you're dialed in, you cross over, and then it's wide open. So let's go into correction. So, because while under construction, something that's substituted or proposed for what is wrong or inaccurate, and I've got a heavy correction story for you. So Hebrews 12, verse 3 and 4 says this, for considered Him who endured such hostility. We're talking about the heaviness, the weight of that cross. We're talking about how even just moving it was like getting splinters in Him. So can we think about what that actually meant for Jesus? For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
Wait. How many here have ever become weary or discouraged? Oh my gosh, every one of you, almost, right? The rest of you guys are supermen and or women.
So I'm glad he thought ahead to encourage us to not become weary or discouraged. So lest you become weary or discouraged in your souls, because you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Now, I'd love to do a poll, but I won't. But I'd love to do a poll and hear how many of you have ever heard the Lord say to you, you haven't begun to resist bloodshed. Because when I've shared this story just personally over the years, people would look at me strangely. What do you mean? And then just this past summer, the Lord really put on my heart and said, it's time to share it in the church. And I was like, that's pretty heavy stories, Lord. He said, it's time to share it. I said, okay. So I shared it for the first time when I just ministered in Maui, Hawaii, because we spent over 300 hours volunteering after the Lahaina fires. We helped the children, gave away our books, did all this. And I shared it for the first time there. So I was in 2006 pregnant with my second child, and we were facing some difficulties, and the difficulties began to get much more than I could handle in my mind and the way I like things to go. And so the financial difficulties, they were financial, were something that my husband said, it's going to be okay, but it wasn't working out okay. And we spoke the word and declared the truth, and my husband locked on to, and I'm not going to lose my house, and I'm not going to lose my cars, and I'm not going to lose. And so we locked onto these things, and I began to whine and complain. While my husband's over here speaking the word, and I'm trying to speak the word, I'm also whining and complaining. And the Lord spoke to me. I was actually in the bathtub, pregnant with my second child. I was in the bathtub, and he said, you haven't begun to resist bloodshed. Snap out of it. It was strong. I went, wow. I don't even really exactly know what you're saying, but I'm going to go look that up because, okay. It was a strong rebuke. It was a strong correction. Fast forward 1 year. We have somebody traveling with us. This somebody had a relationship that they liked. They wanted to leave the situation, help us to be to be away from this relationship. That relationship tried to start back on them when they saw that they were going to go travel and do these things. And all of a sudden, she came up with a story that was incredibly inaccurate of the reason why she wanted to go home. And it was a pretty major insult on me and my family. And so it had to be worked through. It had to be dealt with. You know, somebody says something about you you don't like. It's not very nice, is it? So you have to work through this. You have to figure this out. And so here I had this situation, and I said, well, Lord, if this is the way it goes, I'm going to be a youth minister. I'm a youth minister. I take a youth with me, and this kind of thing happens. What am I doing this for? Might as well just quit. I'm going to go find a different job. I'm young enough. I can do another career. He said to me, you haven't begun to resist bloodshed. Cut it out. I went, oh, I've heard this before. You just said this to me last year in regards to financial whining and complaining. He doesn't like it, you know. He actually doesn't like it. Talks about that in another place. But then we come to the next year, okay? Now, this is a heavy, okay? And I'm not by any means telling a person how to grieve. But we had a sudden loss in our family, and it was a great, significant, huge, unexpected loss. And during that time, I was appropriately sad. It was understandably sad. And I heard the Holy Spirit so gently, so quietly, so sweetly say, Christy, you haven't begun to resist bloodshed. I went, that puts it in perspective. Now, I believe that the Lord is the Lord of the impossible. And that even when things happen that shouldn't happen in this world that we live in, that he is the God that can restore it all. Finances, he can restore relationships, and he can heal our hearts after disappointments. He can restore our joy so that we can keep moving. But he is the God that's so kind that he will correct us. So under construction, he'll give us directions. He'll give us corrections. Amen.
And modifications.
And he'll give us modifications.
So I looked up this word under construction. There was three different ways they went. Undergoing construction, underway construction. But I was coming from North Korea. I got three times into North Korea, two surfing trips and one ski and snowboard trip. And the first time I went there, they said there were wiretaps in our rooms, and they were looking for us saying things against the leader. I'm sure some of you know what happened to the guy, Otto. And we, in our hotel rooms, at the end of the day, we'd have these debriefing sessions, and we could worship because when you're singing, nobody has any idea what you're saying. But we had like secret words that we were allowed to use. Like when we're talking about the Holy Spirit directs us, we call him HS. If we'd gone to Bible school, we'd call a certain thing, and we'd call him the J-man, because they're looking for spies. And we were coming in with, some of them were YWAMers, Youth with a Mission. Others were this group called STN. I've got my hat right there. And so we had to have code words that we had to say in our hotel room. They said the only place you're safe is on the beach or in these grand squares. I call them platillas, but these grand squares where people were so far away they couldn't hear from you.
Can I just interject? Do you know that North Korea is the number one most persecuted nation in the world? I just was with a North Korean. I know that, unless I help you to understand, there are 220 North Korean refugees in the United States. That to even meet a North Korean is like, I don't know what the percentages would be, but I just was with a North Korean woman who escaped with her son 10 years ago. So this is number one most persecuted nation in the world to get the gospel into there, and then to have to modify to the point of like saying HS. Imagine how disciplined you have to be, right?
J-man.
That's what we're really...
11 days you have to monitor every word you're saying. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. Your brain like clicks off. Like I said, I try to think of, anybody ever play sports like you do Hell Week with football and the coach just makes you go, 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 and you're like, I'm done, I want to go home and play video games. But you know if you want to play, you know what I mean? You just, if you really want to go the next level. So while we're in North Korea, you had to watch everything you said. I mean, to everyone. You couldn't say anything bad, you couldn't, anyone. So then we get to China, and China 30 years ago used to be as bad. Your neighbors would turn you in if you said anything against the communists. Now it's probably going to get bad again. So I donate a surfboard that I brought with me to the leader, and nobody has ever done this. And I took it to Oklahoma, they damage it. I took it to China, they damage it. I take it to North Korea, they damage it. So I had to repair it. I'm not going to leave it with them. So I get this bright idea that we're going to clean the board off. We're all going to sign it. And he has a surfer cafe in Wahiwa on the way to Haleiwa, the big surf place on Oahu. So I tell one of the guys, I'm going to donate it. Maybe he'll put it in his cafe. He goes, Cliff, he's got $10,000, $20,000 surfboards. What's he going to do with this junky surfboard from New Jersey that says K-A-N-E, Kane on it, you know? But we sign it. And I hide it behind this big beam. And I come in, I said, I've known Tom more than all of you guys, because I was a windsurfer and a surfer in his town. They used to invite me for prayer when I was just learning how to walk with God. They'd bring me to meals. My boss would force me to give 14 YWAMers windsurf lessons for free. That was a chunk of money. And so I'd come with him and I'd pray, and I started to learn how to pray. I started to learn how to hear from God. I started having people over me that thought in a different way. So I get up, and we're in this massive, maybe 10 times the size of this church banquet hall, but you got, you know, 20 people there. And I said, hey, when I went to Bible school, and it felt so good to just say Bible school, and I got to know about Jesus. And so there's these Chinese workers, you know, like managing the banquet way in the corner. I'm sure they thought we'd had a little bit too much of grandpa's cough medicine. You know what I'm saying? That's a joke. And so I'm, when I say this, they're like, hey, like this. And I said, you guys want to get saved over there? And they're waving their arms. What? They have no idea what I'm saying because they speak Mandarin Chinese. But it felt so good to be able to talk about my Jesus openly. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Listen, I'm going to say this again. Some of you, when the presence of God, he's in this house. Mm. I sensed him right away. I told Sherry, I said, listen, it feels good in here. Mm. I mean, I just, this is what I do. Mm. If you go out surfing with me, I just was in Hargeisa in the Horn of Africa in Somaliland. And I served 7 of 8 days. And there were guys, kids, young people who were 20, 30 years younger than me. You know the waves. You know what's going on. You know where to catch the waves. You know where to paddle. You know what to do. If you're a baller, you know where the rim is. You know where you can shoot. If you're a three-pointer, wherever you shoot, if you know how to lay up, you know what you can do. And it's not arrogancy. I've practiced. So when you walk in, and I'm like, whoa, it feels good in here. I can sense that. And then I watch some of the people, I have a point, some of the people just start to come up. In the presence of God, they're going on their knees, and I'm like, wow. I haven't been here in a while. But there's others of you want to come up. And there's a freedom in here that if you respond to him here, he'll tell you where business deals are out there. Amen. Oh, that's a word right there. He'll say, I need you to give a little bit more than you were thinking of giving. And you say, no, you don't understand. I got to. And the Lord's like, no, I already have it behind you. If you'll respond here, like I know when I paddle out in the waves, I know what my limit that I can surf at where I'm at now. But it's the same way in here. We're in Hargesa. And they have church from 8, 9 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. They come in. They prepare meals because it's the only time we can be around believers. There's a couple hundred Christians, just a few hundred Christians in Somalia land, even less in all of Somalia.
This is the number 2 most persecuted nation in the world.
I was there 2 months ago, surfing. And so when we're there,
he went in, right.
So we go into the office because we're practicing a couple songs. We're going to sing in English. They speak Somali. There's a Kenya guy that's there, and he goes, I don't even know what they're saying, but I need to be around believers. This is the first time I've ever been to church where I heard what was going on. So they make a meal. The people are making a meal. They have worship. Then they come out. They eat the meal. Then after they eat the meal, they go in and they have the service. And then after they have the service, they go out and they have coffee. And I don't know if you know Ethiopia and the Somaliland and Eritrea, all this stuff. They have this whole, like, ceremony where they make the coffee. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like super, like it's over the top. And I like good espresso, but it's over the top. And then they have Bible study. They have the whole entire day together. And you're thinking, gosh, is that just like too much? You're like, not if you are so hungry to be around believers and you can't say anything at work.
And we're talking about people who just 2 months before were praying that they wouldn't get stoned anymore when they went into church, okay?
At
so I'm explaining
church.
This to somebody in California. I'm saying, hey, they were praying that they wouldn't get stoned anymore. And she's looking at me, and she's kind of looked at me, and I'm thinking, why is she looking at me like this? And she's like, they pray that they wouldn't get stoned anymore. I said, yeah, and they just stopped getting stoned, you know, just right before the team decided to go in. And she's like, oh. And I'm like, and she's like, and I looked at her, I said, stoned. With stones, because she's thinking getting stoned, right? And I'm like, wow, the culture, be not conformed, but transformed. And I'm thinking, I'm worlds away in California, and we're going to Somalia. And I'm like, wow, my world's just fully like...
collided.
Yeah, like...
No, they're talking about as you're driving to church, it's on their holy day of that nation, okay? And as you're driving, people start going, and they start throwing baseball, softball-sized rocks, and... They showed us a video, and they start to stone a guy, and I think God did it smart. When finally one hit the guy in the head, he blacked out, and then he doesn't know he's going to die in like 10 minutes from all the rocks going on him. It's brutal. So then we're in this office, and we're practicing. It's in English. They didn't even get it when we sang in English. But we're worshiping, and the presence of God starts to fall, and I'm like, what is going on? And the pastor comes in. He goes, listen, I was that religion, and he said, and I have been stoned, okay? And he said, and I survived. And he said, but I would see Jesus. And he said, I've had visitations from Jesus. And then he said, at other times, I'd see his hand and his feet, and it takes a while to comprehend it because in his hands and his feet is where you see the nails that went through there. And he goes, it would give me strength to go another day. Well, I'm on a plane to the Philippines, December, and I'm believing God on every level for projects and all this. And this cowboy's traveling with me 9 days. We went around the world. And I said, you got to sleep when I sleep, and you just have to eat when I eat, and we have to read the word together, and we have to get this done to follow through. Everybody's asleep on the plane, and I'm sitting in the bulkhead like this, and I see Jesus. I don't know how many of you have read the Chronicles of Narnia, but I see Jesus just like super light, and I start weeping on the plane. I'm like, what is this, God? What is this, God? And so after a while, I get up, and there's a couple of people watching movies on the way from Dubai to Manila, a couple of people watching movies, but I'm just worshiping, and I'm standing where Jesus was standing a moment ago. And then I'm in Hargeisa, and we start worshiping, and I go, I know why you came and visit me on that plane. You wanted to say, don't give up. I got your other side. When you're under construction, I want to run chairs because I work with youth all the time. I love to run chairs. I'm joking with you. Listen, this is real, guys. This is real.
Listen, whenever Paul said in Acts 20:24, he said, but none of these things move me. Okay? So you know how they say first world problems, right? Okay, we're talking about our problems. They're real. The financial issues, the losses, the accusations, they're real. Okay, I tell somebody, if I share a story, and they're like, oh, well, my pain's nothing to your pain. I said, listen, if you've got like a rip in your nail and it's hurting, it's pain. Let's not compare pains. Let's just know that the God of our breakthrough will lead us through,
yep,
and he'll take us on to the other side with joy, right? We're also saying the same things when we're talking to people in Somalia, when we're talking to people in NK, but we're dealing with different things. They call them first world problems, and they call, you know, third world nations, this thing. But in Acts, we have very clear instructions. We have directions, we have corrections, we have modifications. And Paul said when he was chained and on his way to Jerusalem, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish. We started, we're going to finish. We came up to something, we're walking through something, we are going all the way through. I will finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel, the grace of God. When I first got saved, I remember somebody walking up to me and said, well, when you backslide. I was like, I don't even know what backslide means. And they explained to me, well, you know, if you mess up and you fall away from God, you know, you can always. I said, no, listen, I'll make mistakes. I'm probably going to fall off the horse a lot. I heard my pastor say that, so I said that back to him. I'm probably going to fall off the horse a lot, but I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to be a contributing member. And I used to say of society, but the Lord corrected me because I said that to my kids all the time. He said, no, a contributing member to the body of Christ, Christy. I said, that's right. He said, you tell them that they're a contributing member of the body of Christ. We're going to get back up and we're going to do something and we're going to contribute. We are not pew sitters. We are not country club members. We are not cruise ship Christianity people. We are people that are to make a difference, to impact our community, to impact our state, to impact the nations, yep, to impact the world. We have been called to make a difference. And so we count none of these things, or I count. But with joy, I run. With joy, I don't stop. Which leads me to my favorite quote, probably my favorite quote right now anyways, and that's President Lincoln. Do you want to share it? Do you want me to?
You do.
President Lincoln, in 1861, was listening to a sermon by a pastor, Gurley. He would kind of sneak in and sit in the side office of the church so that nobody would see him. He would open the door, and he would listen quietly. And Pastor Gurley did this great sermon. They asked him, President Lincoln was walking back, and they said, hey, what'd you think about the sermon he had? And he said, it was brilliantly conceived. It was biblical. It was relevant. It was well presented. He said, oh, so it was a great sermon. He said, no. Lincoln said, no, it wasn't a great sermon. And he liked Pastor Gurley. He said, no, it's not. He said, Dr. Gurley did not ask us to do something great. It failed in not expecting his audience to do something great. And we are all created for greatness. So how do we do when we're under construction? How do we do these things with joy? Well, Hebrews 11:11 in 2007, when I was under fire, those three things that I talked about, that was, you have not resisted the bloodshed. The Lord started saying to me, Hebrews 11:11, do you know it took me like 10 years in that one scripture to really get the full revelation of what he was saying? 10 years for one scripture. I was under construction. I was going through something. But he said, Christy, Sarah herself received strength to conceive because she judged and she counted him faithful. You know, for years I'd say that. Then I got to the place where I'd say, okay, I myself, how do I say that? What do I do? Judge you and count you faithful? I've got to remember things that you've done then. Okay, I need to start writing them down, all of them down. I need to remember to keep that list with me. When things get hard and it attacks me and I'm mad about this, I got to pull that back out and I got to look at it. I got to keep that in front of me. I'm going through this thing. I am not giving up. I myself receive strength. I am empowered. Yeah. I can do this. I receive strength to conceive.
Yep.
The baby, the dream, the promise,
yep.
I receive strength to conceive the miracle because I'm going to judge and I'm going to count you faithful. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to say quit. I'm going to stay with this thing. What do we do whenever we're Pastor Gurley, for instance, whether you think everything we've done is well presented, biblical, relevant, whatever, but we don't want you to walk away here and go, you know what? I wasn't challenged with anything. We're going to challenge you with the same thing.
Yeah.
Whether you are young in the Lord, you are in the middle, whether you're the one getting directions right now, whether you're the one getting corrections right now, or you're the one that says today you walk off and say, I got to modify some things. Because modify actually means to change somewhat the form. So to finish up.
So Mark chapter 8, verse 17, it says Jesus and the disciples are taking a boat across. And they'd just gone through a couple of miracles. Jesus had walked on the water. And it says, Mark chapter 8, verse 17 says, and when they'd forgotten to take bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat, now they had. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware thee of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. What's amazing to me is we don't hear about any of that doctrine. This is what Jesus expounded on. Verse 16 says, and they begin discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. Isn't it crazy? No matter what Jesus tells us, we always go back to the physical part. Listen, I know what it's like to be hungry, okay? I know what it's like to do without. I know what it's like to be full, and I know what it's like to have money, all right? But they go back, and he goes, beware the leaven of Pharisees. And they go back, and they said, oh, hey, can you see them in a boat with Jesus? Yeah, because we didn't bring any bread. Hey, we didn't bring any bread. I hope it doesn't jump ahead. Or do we have it up there?
They did, but it's a different version.
Good. No, leave it up there. Leave it up there. And they begin discussing with one another the fact they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, he doesn't go, guys, just move on. Let's go back to the doctrine. So the doctrine of the Pharisees is divided. No, you know what I'm talking about? He says, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? This other translation says, do you not still see or understand? Have your hearts been hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? These guys saw mighty miracles with Jesus. I can't explain to people me going surfing 7 of 8 days in Hargeisa, Berbera, Somaliland, while in the Gulf of Aden, the Houthi rebels are literally bombing out there, and there's pirates out there, and I'm getting to surf an unsurfed place. To me, it's like, are you kidding me? And I was one of the oldest guys surfing, okay? There were guys like half my age, one other guy, and he surfed as many days as I did, but because I don't get to do this. I'm surfing the Horn of Africa, okay?
And you also told people who never heard about Jesus, the gospel.
I did.
In fact, he gave the book, what's it called?
Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus.
He actually...
But I just don't like to leave that on tape.
Oh, sorry.
Because, like, I was texting one of my friends one day, and I said, all these things I just told you, Pakistan, North Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, here, I said, you know, I could be arrested, imprisoned, possibly court-martialed and or murdered in like 5 continents if you just release all that stuff. Like half of what I've done in the gospel would put me in jail for all the rest of my life and multiple lives if you believed in that stuff, which we don't, I know. And so he says this, Jesus says, don't you remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up? When I don't know your life. I remember what it was like when I was a surfer in Hawaii and I was like, this is not what life's about. And then he met me. Then he sent me to Bible school. Then he did this. And then 14 years he had me wait for my wife. If you would have told me 14 years, I would have said, it ain't possible. But he didn't tell me that. But then my wife says this to me all the time. She goes, how can you believe for these crazy things? I go, every day, baby. I wake up, I see my baby. No, don't touch me right here. Don't be playing that right here. And so I go, every day I wake up, I go, oh my gosh, I got better than I deserve. Are you with me? Don't you remember? And then he says, I know we got to wind it down here. He says, then for the seven, for the 4,000, how many basketfuls? God's concept is not, wasn't it wonderful that the people got fed that were doing? No, he says, what's left over? Come on, Sherry, look at this. I sit here, I go, what's left over? Look where we are. All the stuff, has it been painful? Yes. Is it trying sometimes? Yes, but there's joys on that. You have to rehearse it. Sometimes you got to write it down. You know what I do sometimes? Is I pull my eyelid out like this, and I get one of those markable pens, those permanent pens, and I write it on the side so when I close my eye, no, I don't do that. But you know what you have to do? You have to put it down. I know. I have it in my last trip where I went to Somalia. I left with a $37 ticket. And I said, God, I got to get here. Nobody understands why I'm going to Somaliland. And I wrote down everything when I got around the world. And then I would bring it out to my wife. I'd say, remember when he did this? Remember when he did this? Remember when he did this? Remember when he did this?
He's good at this.
Listen.
You can get good at it.
There's pieces in your life. The fact that you're in church on Sunday and that you're allowing us to go this long is pretty cool. Listen to this. You got to remember. You got to remember. You got to celebrate. You got to go over yes. these things. You and your spouse.
Yes.
You and your friends.
Yeah.
I'm in a Bible study in Malibu. And there's a music producer. And he goes, somebody jerked me out of, I saw my guys I was working with, names you would know. And he says, they're dying of meth. They're dying of heroin overdoses. I knew I needed something. But only since he got in the Word, he goes, Cliff, you got me this Bible. How God used me, I don't know. He goes, you're changing my life. He's 72 years old, a music producer. And he goes, I'm reading the Word. And I feel like I'm born again. You got to remember. You got to remember. I have a wonderful remembrance.
And so how can we
bring it home, baby.
How can we end this in regards to, have you guys ever heard where your brain doesn't know when you laugh, whether it's fake or real? Has anybody ever heard that? Okay, so there's a minister who talks about this pretty extensively.
Scientifically, it's
yeah,
proven.
He's watched the science behind it, and it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen the YouTube videos that talk about praying in tongues and the different parts of the brain don't light up. Well, anyways, it's along these lines, and they said that basically you don't know whether you laugh, it's real or fake. And so, listen, I know that not everybody's as funny as another person. And I know that some people would say, oh, this is just putting it on. And I know that there's a space and a place where you can really like dive into the joy of the Lord and it can renew your strength. But right here, right now, as the end of this, there are times where you can just do things like, ha, 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 ha. I had a friend a couple weeks ago, and she started doing it. They brought in the kids from Children's Church, and I was thinking, how is she going to roll with this? Like, how is she going to do with this with these kids who don't know anything about what she's talking about? And they walk in, but she's a musician, and she's like, ha, 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 and they just start doing with her. We're going to end, but I just want you, the step of faith right now, I just want you to say, ha, 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 ha. This is we're all going to participate in this because your brain doesn't know the difference whether or not you're faking it or it's for real. Ha, 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 ha. We're going to do it one more time. Ha, 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 ha. No, like we're not going to go like this. We're going to go ha, 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 ha. Do that by yourself on your own. Do it. In your quiet space, in your quiet place, your brain doesn't know the difference. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Amen. You do that.
Praise God.
He wants me to do an altar call. Is it too late to?
Oh, no. Never.
All right. So if you're in here and you'd say, I'm not laughing with you because I don't even know what you're doing because you're as crazy as what you said you heard when you were 13. If you'd be the person that says this is your first time in here or this is your first time hearing the message of faith and going through and choosing joy, if you would say this is the first time I've heard about Jesus or this is the millionth time I've heard but I haven't been willing to give my life or I've walked away and I did fall off and I have backslidden, everybody close your eyes. I don't always say close your eyes because this is a very public decision. This is a very open thing. But close your eyes and everybody, anybody in here, you'd raise your hand and you'd say, that's me. I have found that I haven't been in the space, the place. I don't know him. I don't know how to access him. I don't even know what you're talking about. If that's you, raise up your hand. Raise up your hand really strong, really big. You say, I walked away. I haven't been doing what I should be doing. Raise up your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. The Lord sees your hand. He knows you. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants you. He wants you to go all the way through. He wants you to finish your course, your life with joy. He wants you to live long. He wants you to live strong. He wants you to be free from any addictions, any difficulties. He wants you to be in this space with him. He sees you under construction, and right now he sees you, and he says, I'm going to give you directions. I'm going to give you a way to step in and a way to step out. And so right now, would you be so bold? Would you be so bold to come up here to join me up front? Would you be so bold to come up? Would you be so bold? It's a big step. It's a big step. If you'll be bold and you'll walk up and walk forward, it's a big step. It's a big step. It's a step that'll change your life forever. Would you be so bold? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. He cares. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your presence that breaks the yoke of bondage. And I thank you, Lord, for your presence that sets the captives free. And I thank you, Father, for your love towards your people. And I thank you, God, that you never fail and you never give up and you never relent on chasing us down with your love. So both of you,